It's After the Hour. Welcome back. Second and final hour of the week here on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and you can text the program on our First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up at thewholeshow.com. Would you trade three number ones, three first-rounders, two second-rounders, one third-rounder, and Bradley Chubb for Deshaun Watson? And it's a mixed bag. Guys, go vote. I'm curious to see where this thing ends. About 52% right now is saying yes. Cool. Ken Bowen, is this your review idea? Isn't this a perfect excuse to go to the Clown's Den and do a review? Noob.
Yes.
Noob said, if you need a reviewer for places outside of Cheyenne, I'm your guy. Well, Noob, give us the rundown of the Clown's Den, man. Don't send pictures. I'm excited for our first one. It looks like that's going to happen. We're going back and forth right now. And we are going to notify, like, the owners and stuff that we're coming in, because we're going to film it, right?
Yeah.
So let people know. Good stuff's going to happen from this, Colfax.
It's, I was just going to say film it, though. It's not really film. It's like recording, I guess.
No, it's the same thing. We're not coming in with a studio, like a whole movie studio type setup. That will happen, hopefully, as this thing grows, Colfax. We'll be able to put some money into it. But right now, it's just dudes with phones, Facebook Live, Twitter Live, Instagram Live, Insta Live.
Yeah, I think that's a thing.
Do that. Review places. And I mean, I'm not going to go in wanting to rip businesses to shreds, especially this day and age. But I'm definitely going to give you my real take of the place.
Yeah.
And it's from a very, 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 very average dude. Like, I'm not a connoisseur of anything. I love pizza, but I'm it's not going to be like these in-depth food critics. But we're mixing the whole thing. You know, where you go, what the place looks like, the parking situation, all that.
Important stuff.
All important things that you need to know.
Absolutely.
And we're hooking people up. It's good to do that. Kevin Lytle put a piece together this morning in the Coloradoan. The chances of the Rams going, the chances of the Buffs going dancing. I mean, the Buffs, they got four games left, two of them against USC, UCLA. Those are going to be tough. But you have Oregon State and Utah. I mean, if they split the next four, probably going to be enough. I mean, Kevin noted here, again, in the Coloradoan, for the Buffs, that in the NCAA tournament field of 105 brackets online, all of them had CU in it. And then for the Rams, it was, I think, just let's see here. In the NCAA tournament field of 82 of 105 brackets, 82 out of 105 brackets online, according to, so they were in 82 of 105 brackets, bracketmatrix.com. If you go over to ESPN, you start looking around bracketology, and don't do that, Rams fans, because they have you as the first four out on the bubble. You got teams like Indiana, who I'm thinking, you know, right now it looks like Indiana might play CU. So Indiana, Xavier, Drake, North Carolina on the bubble. The last four in, Maryland, Minnesota, Stanford's on that list from the Pac-12. First four out, UConn, Colorado State, St. Louis, and then Utah State. Utah State, two Mountain West teams, maybe on the outside looking in. That's why when you look at tonight, you know, in the Mountain West Conference, it is a big one for Utah State. They play Boise State tonight. Boise won the first game. Utah State, can they win the second one? I wouldn't be shocked, man. Utah State wins this thing, shakes things up big time in this conference. All the while, the Rams sitting back have a damn good chance to win the regular season. And that's it. If CSU can do that, then you're golden. You're good. You look at those standings, and it's certainly it's going to be tight. You know, we talked about this a lot yesterday. It's going to be very tight for Colorado State. It's going to come down to the wire, and, you know, if they get the two Air Force games, they got to win both of those games, though. None of this really matters if they can't do that. Nikola Jokic getting the third All-Star game in a row. I mean, what does that mean? I heard Mark Knutson's corner talking about Melo. I mean, that's where you are, but, you know, you're in different territory. I mean, Melo, at his best days, was he ever really considered an MVP? He was always considered a great scorer, not a good defensive player. Maybe not the best overall, like, team player as far as assists and everything. I don't think the Nuggets have ever had a player like Joker. You know, I know Alex English, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Alex English is a stud, man, but I don't know that Denver's ever had a guy like this. You know, I said it last year. We had this debate, who's the greatest Nugget of all time? And I'm already saying Nikola Jokic. I mean, he separates himself from so many past Denver Nuggets because, number one, he's gone further than most teams. Denver's been to the Western Conference Finals 3 times, and he's a part of that last time, the part, really. Now 3 All-Star appearances. He's been in the MVP discussion since day one this season. So, I mean, and Alex English, the tough part there, I think even Michael Jordan said it. It's like English had the, you know, it was unfortunate for him because he was damn good, but he was playing in a time where there was like 5 amazing great players, 5 just tops players. Yeah, Joker, I mean, you look at the competition, you Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Giannis. I mean, these are all guys that are going to go down in the history books as some of the greatest players in NBA history. If Giannis can stay healthy, he will. Kevin Durant's already there. LeBron James is certainly already there. So, I mean, yeah, we can do the argument all day long of, wow, it was a greater time in the 80s. It was greater in the 90s. No, I don't know. I don't really like that argument that much because there's a lot of things that have changed. The rules have changed, I'll admit. You know, and I was looking at some pictures of some great players, Colfax, and like their shoes. Like, these were just like low top slippers almost that they were wearing like the 70s and 80s. And that there was an argument to be made saying, hey, man, if you give these players the tools that the players have now, lights out. Okay, but you don't. That's a big if. And that's actually the argument of why the 90s, 2000s, and all that are actually turning out to be, you know, these athletes are better, bigger, faster, stronger because of the tools that they have at their disposal. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. I don't know that it's a debate for me anymore. I mean, I was hearing arguments last year about English and Melo. Joker's the guy. I mean, watch him play. He's a sensational scorer now. I mean, he's always been a pretty good scorer, but man, he's opening up new ways to do it. That little Serbian shuffle thing that he does, his three-point game, his one-on-one moves have gotten so good. Like, watching him back a guy down, it's not just Joker back, 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 quick spin, up, layup. I mean, he has that in his tool belt, but you could see him throw in 3-4 spins before making a move. He's deceptively quick. And his passing ability, that's the best we've ever seen with the Nuggets. What is frustrating, though, about all that? Where's the help? Carmelo didn't take his game to the next level until Chauncey Billups came. Denver was always a first-round bust. Every time they get to the playoffs, they were knocked out, and they had one of the greatest players, or at least at the time. And then once they got Chauncey Billups in, who could kind of regulate Melo. He was the general, man. I mean, this is why people like to throw Chauncey Billups' name up there when you're talking about Nuggets greats. He didn't have enough time. He had 2 stints in Denver. First stint wasn't good. Second stint was really good, but it wasn't enough time. But when he was in Denver, that second stint, he packed a punch. He was great. He calmed everything down. He was the nucleus that held that group together. And that was a pretty damn good group. But where is that for the Nuggets now? Joker is the Billups, right? Joker is the glue. He's the best player and he's the glue. That's also why he's already the greatest. Because Melo was the best player. Chauncey was the glue when they went to that Western Conference Finals. Joker's both. I mean, he's your best player, and when he's on the floor, everybody is benefiting. But where's the other guy? And that's, again, that has to be Jamal. That has to be MPJ. I talked about this again. I was on with Noco Now earlier today. And I said, same as we discussed all week, Colfax, you're not getting DeMar DeRozan and Bradley Beal. You're not going to get those guys unless you're willing to part ways with Jamal Murray. First off, the Spurs are a playoff team, and I'm telling you, Colfax, I don't know. I think Washington's going to make a comeback here and at least get close to the playoffs. I think they're better than that record shows. But where's that help? You know, Chris Dempsey, who's a very optimistic guy, you know, and listen, he works for Altitude and stuff, so he's not going to completely give us everything, but you can tell with Mr. Dempsey if he's not hot on a certain player. You know, he just, whatever, oh yeah, he's fine, he's got to get it right. He won't pull any punches there. He said yesterday, though, he's pretty damn confident that Michael Porter Jr. will get out of this slump, will become that guy. Maybe never really a good defensive player, but will be good enough where you're not like, it's not like a liability to have him out on the floor. But, I mean, that's the pressure right now, and that the pressure's on all of them. Tim Connelly, Calvin Booth, Mike Malone. You asked the question yesterday, Colfax, in show prep, because I've been talking about players nonstop. It's worth asking.
Yeah, is there a coaching issue? It just seems
I'm confused by his lineups.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I don't know how Bol Bol goes from no minutes to he's starting. Sometimes. That was weeks ago. I don't know how Faku goes from, you know, 2 minutes to he's starting. You know, I know there's a good explanation from Malone on that. I don't know. I've been making these comparisons for years between Denver and Golden State. The main difference is Golden State had Mark Jackson bring them to the playoffs, made them respectable. It was Steve Kerr that came in and got them over the hump. And you can argue that, well, Steph Curry just got better. Klay Thompson just got better. It is what it is, man. I mean, Steve Kerr, there for a while, he was winning championships every single year. So do the Nuggets have their guy that, okay, Malone helped shape this group. He helped court this team along to get him into the playoffs now. They've been 2 years in a row now. Is he the guy to get him over the hump? And when they were down 3-1 to Utah, I asked the same thing. Is Malone the guy? They made this unlikely comeback that never happens. They did it twice. Is Mike Malone the best guy for this team? I don't know.
Because at this point, if things keep playing out like they've been playing out, this is the first time he hasn't gotten better.
Right. Every year he's gotten better.
Yes.
You know, what, his first 3 years, they didn't make the playoffs, but he was getting better. He's getting, you know, 30-some wins, then 30, then the mid-30s, and then the 40s. They missed it by one game the year before, and then they made it to the playoffs, and they got past the first round. They beat the Spurs. Eastside Chris Brady, after 55-plus years of Denver basketball experience, I think Joker might be the one. Yeah, he is. And listen, I mean, it's been a weird winter because we've parted ways with Nolan Arenado, and that was tough. You had a generational player. You had a unicorn, right? We were talking about this yesterday, how I don't think Deshaun Watson's a unicorn. Nolan Arenado's a unicorn. You have in Denver a once-in-a-lifetime player, and that's Nikola Jokic. This guy, I mean, he seems to get better. Do you think he's matured this year?
100%.
He's still fun. He's still goofy. But I feel like, and this is where I credit Malone on this, because they've been trying to figure Joker out for years. Oh, he's a great passer, but sometimes he doesn't feel like he needs to score. You look at him now, doesn't he seem to have a killer instinct?
Yes, which is kind of what we've been saying he's been missing.
Yeah, he's been missing that.
Yeah.
I didn't see a pissed off Nikola Jokic. I didn't see a guy at the top that just said, everybody clear the hell out of the way then. It's Joker time. I see that now. That was the one thing missing from his game, and that was the frustration for us last year and, you know, at the beginning of last year. And then at the end, he started turning it up. He turned it up in the bubble. I mean, so the knock has never been his ability. He's always been great. And even, like I said, you know, we've hit him with the inconsistencies, but I've said it a bazillion times. Even when he was inconsistent scoring, he was still providing the other stats. Now you're seeing the killer instinct. That's what Jamal might be missing. Is, you know, because there's times you see it. I'm telling you, man, and I stand by this. At his best performance, he reminds me of Kobe. At his best. But at his worst, okay, he's still not a terrible player, but at his worst, he's just a guy. So how do you do that? if you're Mike Malone, how do you get a guy that has ability like Kobe Bryant? And how do you get that to be the big, like, that's what we're getting every night? Because if you get that every night, now I just got to figure out how to play defense. But if you get Jamal Murray now in Kobe mode every night, Mamba mode, then yeah, Nuggets will start winning games like it's nothing. And you, again, tonight, you're playing Cleveland. You're playing a bad team. You have to bring it. And, you know, same thing with that killer instinct. That's what I want to see that with Porter, too. Jamal's definitely a tougher-looking player. He's aggressive. Even when he's struggling. I said this his rookie year, or second year. I said even his misses look good. Because he's a good, he's a sound-looking player. For some reason, shots just don't go for him sometimes. Porter, when he looks bad, he looks bad. When he misses, he's frustrated, the body language is different. And even when he looks good, it's not necessarily good. It's strange looking. He can jump and do all these crazy things with rebounds and dunks. You don't even realize he's doing it until it happens. You're like, oh, he dunked it. Kind of looked like he was just walking in there, walking in between defensive players. But you have something special with the Joker. Now, how long is that? How patient is he going to be? I mean, I think Joker now, he's motivated. He wants to win a title. You know, you get a glimpse of that. You got a glimpse of the Western Conference Finals. Melo got there to the Western Conference Finals. And for some reason, that glimpse didn't do it for him. He was ready to move on. He was ready to go to New York, increase my brand, increase my wife's brand, and play basketball at the same time. Where I'm from, okay, great. Mark Knutson's right on his Knutson corner, though. If Melo would have stuck around, could the Nuggets have assembled a team around? Because if you remember, when Melo wanted traded, Chauncey was victim of that, too. Chauncey had to go. Chauncey was shipped out. And again, his career fizzled after that. 22 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about the Broncos organization just a little bit. And how it's frustrating to me to hear Broncos fans just diminish everything over the past 5 years. And as if this is the perfect spot for Deshaun. He's leaving one train wreck. But isn't that what this is here in Denver? Also, we're going to talk to Shane McWaters, owner of Sweetheart City Racing. Kind of a recap of the race that was over the weekend. It's a lot of fun, guys. If you're interested, let us know. Come out and run with us. It's a good time. All right, we'll be right back.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310KFKA. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310KFKA.
Tell you guys about SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. They're family and veteran owned, and you guys have heard about the interest rates, that they're at all-time lows, so now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans, that interest is not tax deductible, and your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Again, that website is at myspecialmortgage.com, myspecialmortgage.com. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 478-1301. And the Mountain West Conference trying to figure out exactly what their next steps are. You know, we talked to Brian Roth, the voice of the Rams, the other day about, well, the fact is that the conference needs to just scrap everything, maybe just restart this thing at the end as far as, okay, we're going to have another week here. Where we can just schedule the games that are important. So we need to have CSU play Nevada, which would be a little scary, but you need to have those games. Because, again, you're seeing the rest of this conference play out. I mean, Utah State's playing Boise State tonight, and that's a huge game. That's on FS1. That's going to be 8 o'clock. San Diego State's playing Fresno State tomorrow. CSU, as we know, not going to play Nevada. Then you go on and you got, you know, the rest of these schools are going to be able to finish it. This is where, okay, does CSU get another game in next week? You got to be you got to be careful with how you do this. And is there going to be enough time in between to schedule more than one or two games? Do you just do one game after the Nevada situation? You know, do you just do one Nevada after the Air Force situation? So you're going to play your two Air Force games and then go in and play one Nevada game? But either way, tonight, Rams fans, sit back. There's no pressure yet. Relax. Enjoy this one. Because if Utah State wins, I mean, now we're talking. Now we're talking. When you look at the conference, so Boise State's sitting at number one at 13-3. CSU's 11-3. Utah State's 11-3. So if Utah State beats Boise State, Boise State moves down, then it's tiebreaker time. And, you know, San Diego State is right there as well. But Utah State would move up probably to number one. Or does I think the Rams have the tiebreaker there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, 30 minutes after the hour, Shane McWaters is going to join us, owner of Sweetheart City Racing. I participated. That's what I participated last week. It was a lot of fun, actually. 3 degrees, I thought, this is going to be miserable. It was so fulfilling, man. It was so cool to walk away and go, all right, I did it. I ran 4 miles out here in this, and I felt all right. I mean, I was pretty sore the next day, but felt like it was going to be a lot worse. We'll talk to Shane about it, kind of get the recap and what's next for Sweetheart City Racing. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here, Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, that's good. That's fitting. That's fitting. Sweetheart City Racing is my first race. So I ran track back in the day, but I've never participated in anything like this. I was not a long distance, or I'm still not really a long distance.
Well, you are
runners.
Now.
I am pretty much professional.
You're in the club.
Shane McWaters joining me, owner of Sweetheart City Racing, man. First off, it was really cold. Could you turn up the heat next time?
I will do my best. That was the piece of it we were watching the week before. The week before, it was like, it was going to be 45.
Yeah.
It was going to be awesome.
Yep.
And then we turned it on the next day. I was like, oh, that's going very much the wrong way.
And every report's like, oh, it's going to be the coldest day ever.
Literally the coldest day in history.
Yeah, it's going to be the coldest day in history. Hope you. But I will say this. You know, if you bundled up appropriately, you guys had the heaters out there right at the startup. And
which
that
is kind
was
of a funny story.
That was good. I mean, you guys were busting your tails to get those things out there.
Yeah.
The cold really didn't bother me. It's the fact that I'm out of shape is what bothered me.
That's a factor I can't help. I can help a lot of the environmental things, the in shape factor.
Yeah.
We can't. Sorry, man.
I gotta get better. I have goals in mind now. But man, it was so much fun. And we were talking during the break. It's like you can get up and run to stay in shape anytime you want and do it. But
for
there's
sure.
just something about this race leading up to it. People coming together. You know, you got the PA guys, awesome, talking about all the and all the folks that are, you know, putting their time into this.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really fortunate where, you know, we see all the time we got a great team around us. I mean, Mike, he's our official. We just made him the official voice of Sweetheart City Racing because it sounds cool.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's we really want to put on and give people a really good environment, make the course really fun, you know, really unique, something. And I think you saw that with this one. You kind of start out downtown, so you get that kind of urban street thing, and then all of a sudden you're kind of out. Almost not in the country, but it feels like you're kind of.
I felt like I was in the mountains, basically.
And
I was ready to just live off the land.
Just live off the land. You're right. Just tear your shirt off.
I was done. I was like, well, I'm not running 2 more miles, so this is where I live now.
This is it. This is home.
Me. No, and that I loved, and it was cool. You talk about the neighborhood feel when you're first leaving or first coming back, or when you're coming back. There's people outside of their houses waving and saying, go, you know, they're cheering you on. It's just such a neat thing, and they look forward to it.
They do. It's funny you say, like, so my wife and my kids, they spend a couple hours prior to each race, and we go and put letters on people's doors just letting them know, hey, by the way, there's going to be, you know, a couple hundred people running in front of your house.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, they'll start reaching out to us weeks going up, you know, hey, you know, are you guys doing the race? I mean, we see people out there. I don't know if you saw any this time, if they're out there, but there'll be people out with cowbells. Most people probably didn't come out this year because it was 3 degrees.
But there was
a handful out there.
I'm telling you, there was this guy. He was an older guy, and he's standing outside of his house.
That's awesome.
What kept me going. I'm looking at that dude, and he's like, you can do it. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm going to go. And it was that part was so much fun.
That's cool. Yeah, that's super cool.
And then, you know, what's cool about it, too, is you send off, you get the results. You sent pictures. There's a photographer out there. I was like, please just make me look good. You know?
You hit it right, man.
I got the thumbs up.
Yep.
Well, I was on your website before, and I saw pictures from last year, and guys are having fun. I was like, this guy's jumping up in the air. I was like, well, that's not happening.
Yeah. that could cause injury.
That could cause injury. And if I do that, I'm coming down. I might not get up. Yep. I might just roll down into that lake, and then it's done. But that's cool. And then you have the pictures available.
Yep.
You have your times. You get to see where you finish. I mean, that's a special day. I got my sign.
Nice.
Number 100. I got it up on the fridge, man. I mean, it's, awesome. I'm going to frame it whenever I get to do that. But
it was
a special day.
We really try to kind of give people the total experience, and we've got a couple of great photographers that were out there braving it. You know, God bless our volunteers.
Oh man.
They were out there for hours.
Talk about your volunteers. A lot of the volunteers too, the kiddos that were out there.
Yeah. So the folks you saw out on course were, I think most of them were middle school, a few high school, but I think most of them were middle school track and cross country kids. So, you know, they're out there supporting, you know,
cheering on
old
everybody.
Guys, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're like, you can do it, man. Yeah. You're like, I can't do it.
I don't want to.
But I mean, I really appreciated that. Those were nice little benchmarks too. You're like, okay, if I could just run to that guy
right
there, that's the next goal. Okay. Right. I made it past him. Might as well go over to that one.
Yeah. Go get the next one. Yeah. The kids out there, it's cool too, 'cause they're runners. So they get it, right.
Yeah.
They're used to, you know, kind of helping, you know, almost coach us along, right, as older folks running this course. Super, super cool to have them out there. And like I said, they were out there for, you know, a couple hours while everybody else was out running. They were standing still. So
they're used to it, right?
Right.
It was a great cause too, right? We're giving back to a lot of local runners. I mean, you know, we talk a lot of sports on this program, and you know, we learned this with COVID. We covered golf this year, and there's a lot of sports in the area that don't get the love that some of the team sports get. Me being a trackster back in the day, I mean, it was a soft spot because it's like not everybody talks about these guys. And, man, these are some amazing young athletes.
Yeah, and those kids are out there working hard. You know, they're working, I would say, as hard, you know, as any other team, like you said, team sport.
Absolutely.
Like, they're out there at, you know, 6 in the morning getting their long runs in, doing their workouts like that, working just as hard as any, you know, like you said, kind of team sport, you know, or what we typically think, you know, basketball, football, baseball, things like that. And, you know, that's really what this race in particular we love is that we're letting these young kids see, like, hey, you know, you can do this when you're old, you know, like us. Right?
Yeah.
This is a sport that you can continue.
If I can do it, you can continue to do this for a while, man.
And, you know, we've got people out there that are, you know, I think our youngest runner was, oh gosh, I don't know, 10 or so.
There was a couple of youngsters out there for sure. And I was calling them whippersnappers.
Yeah. Right. And then you got, you know, old guys like in their 80s that are calling you whippersnapper, right?
There's this guy, and you have a really cool story.
Yeah.
Can we say his first name?
Yeah, John.
John.
Yep.
He comes, I mean, I don't know how old he is, but he's definitely older than me.
Yeah.
He comes running up to you.
Yep.
And he's just like, I'm like, where is that energy coming from? He's like, let's go. And I look, I'm like, you're a runner, man.
Yeah.
You're a runner. I mean, to be maybe in his 60s, 70s.
I can't remember, but he's definitely in there somewhere.
Yeah. And you told me such a cool story about him. What was it? From last summer?
So last October.
Okay.
John lives up in one of the areas that was evacuated with the fires. And so we hold this really fun kind of family festival. It's called the Harvest Night in mid-October. And just a fun, you know, fun run through the park. You know, we typically, on a normal year, we would typically have like food trucks and a live band and just kind of make it a fun deal. And we had seen John's name on the start list. So we get a, you know, we know who's coming or whatever. And, but we knew he was evacuated. So we frankly didn't plan. We just figured he probably wasn't going to be there that day because just of all of the other emotions and all of the other things that he was probably dealing with the evacuations for the fires. And we, to kind of give you a little bit of context too, Sarah and I went out to the park. It's held out at Northlake Park. And we sat out there for about an hour going back and forth because the air quality was really bad that day. Because, I mean, if you remember, that was the days that it was literally coming over the hills.
Raining ash, yeah.
Literally raining ash. And we sat around for probably a solid hour, like, do we need to cancel this thing because of air quality? We've never canceled a race because of that. We obviously had to cancel one because of COVID and stuff like that. But we've never had to, like, have that hard discussion of this is borderline, you know, a safety thing. Well, looking at all the data and all of the research and all the stuff, the smoke was still far enough in the atmosphere where we felt like, okay, we can hold it safely. So we decided to go ahead and go forward with it. So anyway, fast forward to the, and it's an afternoon race. I don't know if I said that, but it's an afternoon race as well. And so fast forward to go time, John comes strolling up and my wife just starts bawling. You know, she's just like, I can't believe you're here and all this kind of stuff. And And John's like, well, yeah, I mean, I've been cooped up in a hotel room for a week. You know, I needed this.
Need it more than ever
now. I need
it
more than ever. Exactly. I mean, it's almost exactly what he said. And, I mean, to tell you, we were within minutes of canceling this race. And thank God we didn't, because, you know, what impact would that have had on John and just his... You know, so and he's like one of our favorite people. He comes up and just bear hugs.
Everybody loves him. I mean, I'm watching. You know, there's kids.
He's a legend.
They're going up to him. They're like, hey, they're fist bumping, yes. Getting ready to rock and roll.
Yep.
I mean, and that is just so cool. I mean, I was right next to an older couple.
Yeah.
I mean, I took off, right? I was just going to try to stay with the first pack for about 14 seconds.
Yeah. You did. You held strong for
a little bit. And then they turned on the
left onto Franklin.
Left onto Franklin. And yep. They kicked in another. There's just another thing that happened there. Yep. I was like, oh, I'm not trying that. I'm good.
Nope.
I'm good here in my own little area.
Yeah.
It was so much fun, man. And I can see why guys like John, like, it means something. Because when I got done, I felt so cool about it, man. Yeah. It's just like, this
it's
is a great accomplishment. Yeah. And you're around a bunch of other people. Nobody cares if you're walking it, if you're going to finish. I mean, there were plenty of people that were like me that were like, oh, I'm going to push hard.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a little little break here.
We call that intervals.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. That's real good.
Yeah.
I tried not to walk next to the volunteers, though, because I was like, don't look at me.
Yeah. you teed up just right when you hit the photographers. That's when you want to look strong. It doesn't matter what happens on the rest of the course.
No.
As long as those pictures, that's all anybody can
That's what
can
people
prove.
Are like, whoa, you looked happy there. Yeah. I'm like, I was extremely
totally
happy.
Yep, yeah,
I was.
Great. Life was
Face
good.
Was red.
Yep.
It was, but no, I mean, the cold, like I said, cold really wasn't that big of an issue once you get going.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we heard. So Sarah and I were out on course at about 8 o'clock that morning, just kind of marking things and making sure everything was ready to go for the rest of the day. And we were pretty bundled up because we were going to be obviously standing still for a good chunk. We were out there for about 13 hours that day.
Yeah.
But, you know, we said the same thing. It was like, oh, that's actually temperature. You know, if you're running, if you're moving, if you're dressed appropriately, it's actually not too bad and wasn't terrible, you know, as terrible a conditions as what we kind of thought it was going to be.
Right. It,
so
it was strange. And then the snow kind of came in late and it was, I mean, it was kind of cool. Like
You're like, can we have it snow right as
they're finishing there?
Yeah.
That last stretch was the one though. Cause you're like, you can see the
you
finish
see
line
it.
For a while.
Yep.
So you're like, I can't stop and walk now. I mean, people might see me and, you know, you got your guy, you're the voice of Sweetheart City Racing. He's like, you can do it. I'm like, I'm not walking now. I'm going all the way through.
Yep.
It was a great event, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Well, it was just fun having you out there and kind of watching your journey through the whole thing too. And that's the, you know, I think that was what was cool with you is kind of meeting you a couple months ago and like, you know, it was a track guy. Would you run the?
I ran a 400, which is a
brutal.
Terrible race. I was okay at it, but I hated that I was okay at it because you just have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then I did the 100 and the 200, but by the time I was a senior, I was running out of steam, so I wasn't as
that's
fast.
That's brutal. Yeah. Those are brutal races.
My older sister, she'll be mad that I called her older, but that's the fact.
you're not going to lie on
she lives in. She's up around Leadville.
Cool.
I mean, she went to college for long distance, cross country and all that stuff. So I told her, I was like, yeah, I'm running 4 miles. It's going to be so cold. I'm real worried about it. She's in Leadville.
Yeah.
She's like, you're going to be fine, man. I'm like, well, I'm not of the mountains of like you are. So I, you know, I've got a little different, but
we can get her down here for the next one.
She wants to come down. Actually, I've got a few sisters that are like, yeah, let's go do it. Nice. So that'll turn into a fun competition, I'm sure.
Sweet.
And I will lose.
You're
that.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for that. They're both like, they both run all the time. Yeah. So they're like, oh, yeah.
Too.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm a runner now.
Now that you got the bug, now you just stay in it.
Well, I will say running a quick mile now is pretty easy.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how your perspective changes?
Oh, yeah. Now it's like, I can run that easy.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
And that's funny, too, because we see that. Like, people will say, I've never gone 4 miles. Or, you know, we got this Run the Ranch race coming up in early April, Easter weekend, Friday and Saturday of Easter weekend. And it's a really, Saturday is a really unique thing. It's a 4-hour, 6-hour, 12-hour, or you can do a 12-hour team. So this is where you can get your sisters in.
Yeah.
You can do a 12-hour team.
Heck
thing.
Yeah, man.
And this will be right, frankly, right up their alley if they're up in the mountains. But it's cool because... You see people like, I never thought I could run. So we did this last year, and people like, 6 hour, I don't know how many laps. Basically, the way it works is we've got about a 6.5 mile loop, and you're just going to run that lap as many times as you can.
Whew.
And it's not as flat as what you ran on Saturday, just FYI. So up at Sylvandale Ranch, beautiful place. But it's really cool because people can really stretch themselves, and there's a time domain. So it's how much work can you get done in this time domain? And it's a really unique format. Of course, we do have a typical kind of 5K, 10K on Friday evening for that one. But that we were really interested to see how this kind of time domain race goes, because it's a pretty unique format. So it might be your next test. It's like, how many laps can I get in 12 hours?
Yeah, that might be the next one. Cole, yeah. Write that down.
Colfax.
Hey, Colfax, you're next.
I was disappointed you weren't. I'm assuming you were at the brewery or something.
Yeah, I was there in spirit, for sure.
I think Colfax is getting the bug, though. I can see it in his eye. It's like the eye of the tiger now.
He's loosening up. First couple of times I was here, he's like, no way. Now I can tell he's kind of loosening up.
Warmer weather.
Every time I see him, he runs everywhere now. He runs. Yeah. He's running around here. He's just running up and down the hall. He's getting ready.
Yeah.
Shane, I'm up against the break, man. Yeah. Anything else you want to add before we get you out of here?
Yeah, man. Just again, thanks for coming. You know, anybody that's listening, be looking for what we've got coming up. You know, the spring and summer, our calendar has stayed full. We've been able to kind of, again, like I've said before, we've got a great team around us, volunteers and stuff that have really helped keep our race is going, and it's just a great way, like you said, to get out in the community.
Getting out and giving back, too. I mean, you guys are always doing something really unique there, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And our Run the Ranch, you know, benefits the Heart J Center out there, and then our next big one after that is on the 4th of July, and that's a really, really fun race.
Won't be 3 degrees that day.
It will definitely not be 3 degrees, Colfax.
Yeah, Colfax. So, write that down.
All right. That one I'll consider.
Okay, all right.
And that's only a 5K.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. So,
yeah. Oh, that's easy. Yeah. I can run that in my sleep now. Yeah.
You did that before you're even warmed up.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The guys, I'm warming up like, oh, I'm going to stretch for 2 seconds. That'll do it.
Yeah.
These dudes are running blocks.
They've already run the course once.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Shane, appreciate you, my man. Thanks, Sweetheart man. City Racing, that website, sweetheartcityracing.com. Yep. There you'll go. You'll get all your information that you need there.
That's it, man.
All right.
Thanks, brother.
We'll take a quick break here. We'll wrap up the week. We'll get to the closing thoughts and what's on TV. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Six minutes until the top of the hour. That was fun, man. Shane McWater, Sweetheart City Racing. It's cool because a lot of people have this idea, Colfax, that running in these races is like you got an image of that person, that they're ripped, they're shredded, they're ready to run all the time. And it's, you know, yeah, there's people that are in fantastic shape out there, but there's people that are just like me. There's people that just said, I'm walking this thing. It's about the experience. So it's really cool. Sweetheart City Racing. .com. Check them out, and look forward to their next race coming up. All right. It's been a busy week, Colfax. Nuggets tonight taking on Cleveland. It's, 5 o'clock tip-off. They got to win these games. You know, you lose this game, and you start going in panic mode. You're 8-point favorites in this one, I think. So, yeah, you got to find ways to do it. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back for a busy, busy Monday, no doubt about it. Good night, Northern Colorado.